Welcome to this week's episode of Time Added On. And Tom, I've got a feeling it's going to be a good one. What a few days it has been for Nottingham Forest Football Club. We've had the close of the transfer window. We've just the 8 arrivals, was it, in 24 hours in the end? And then followed that up with a 1-0 win at Chelsea in what I can only describe as the hottest away game I have ever been to. I have never sculled so much water after a match in my life. It was hot. Tom, how are you? Enjoy Saturday afternoon. It was a good afternoon, wasn't it? We've had our pictures, we were just saying when we were laughing, we had our pictures splashed over social media, be watching the goal celebrations back. Can't help but notice our ugly mugs celebrating quite hard in the away end. And then Forrest go and follow it up with a Where's Wally tribute act today for us. So we're all over the shop. We're all over it.
I was about to say they're making it difficult to make miserable sods like me. Today, what? Actually, I have to see that ugly picture of me. Yeah, no, because it's bloody sun in my eyes. I could barely see anything. And then, I mean, the pictures even that went on our account on Twitter. I'm not too impressed with any of the photos.
Yeah,
that
went.
It was the best one of me, I'm afraid.
But I drive the socials, so that's it. It was a good picture.
Yeah, after the transfer window and the result, how can you be unhappy? Even miserable sods like me happy, but do you know what? Whoever put that on there, absolutely.
If anyone wants to go back and look at the Forest official Twitter feed from today, there is a goal celebration picture. And I don't know, what's up with you? I showed someone that picture earlier on there, and they said, oh, Tom looks like he's been crushed. I said, well, yeah, he was stood next to me, and I probably walloped him when the goal went in. But it was a good afternoon, wasn't it? We had a good day. It was a lovely day in the sunshine at Stamford Bridge, and what a result as well. I mean, it was the first away win since January, a long time coming, and you could just feel it, couldn't you, in the stands? In the pub beforehand, in terms of the positivity is well and truly flowing. It was positive post, obviously, what happened on Friday, and we're going to talk about the transfer window in depth in the second half of this pod. We were obviously going to do a transfer window deadline day special, but with so much up in the air, we parked that one, didn't we? But with the transfer window closing and what happened on Friday, so then follow that up with what was an amazing win at Chelsea. It really does feel like a great time to be a Forest fan at the moment. I couldn't help it there, but I've had a big smile on my face all weekend, and it's brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah. I was about to say, look at me, I'm smiling as well, but my face doesn't really change. It's all just one direct emotion coming from here.
No, it's because it's 25 degrees, mate, and you've got your jumpers out ready to go, haven't you?
I'm absolutely fuming. I don't deal with the heat. Anyway, that's by the by. I said I can't moan, and all I've done is moan, actually.
It's a solid opening few minutes.
I'll park the transfer window. Otherwise, I'll be repeating myself when we talk about it a lot later on. But I think we'd all, maybe it's just me again being miserable, but I think we'd kind of prepared ourselves for a difficult start. Let's put it that way. I was about to say the worst, but a difficult start given the fixtures that we had, and actually, you know, albeit we've had two defeats and two wins, like the performances that you've had in those two defeats, I think everyone felt like an away win was well and truly coming. And to get it at Chelsea, you know, albeit they are a team that seem to be constantly in transition, Forest again stepped up and performed well again. And I think they were well worth getting some points away from home. I think they deserved at least a point in one of the other two that they had. And then they've gone away and got the three, and I think they were well worth it. So I think that's why, to be honest, I think people mentally have been maybe just a little bit surprised. And I think, you know, we're in this second year and there's so much talk about it. And you know, ultimately we know inevitably that we'll get the same jokes now after signing a few signings on deadline day. But I think there's certainly a really positive vibe, and that's been followed through today with a statement from the owner. And there just seems to be a really good, like, I don't know, just there's other things that I just feel like there's other things coming down the line as well. You know, there'll be an interview, I'm sure, with Sangare at some point, and people will probably love that. And I just think this, yeah, it's a really good time at the moment. It's probably good that the international break's come, so we get to enjoy it for a couple of weeks now.
So. It is interesting, isn't it? Because it's interesting what a couple of weeks has done to the club, because I think a lot of people, when we're coming into the season, a lot of people worrying about the transfer business that Forest had done, or the lack of transfer business that Forest had done. And it felt a bit flat coming into the start of the season, certainly off the back of the hype around the way that season ended. But it's starting to build, and that feel-good factor is really there. But I think it's really helped. Yes, the transfer business has helped with that, and obviously it's exciting. We like a signing. We're Nottingham Forest. We like signings. But I think what we're seeing on the pitch has been a really positive start. And I think if we look at the away performances in particular, I mean, we've only had the one home game, right? But if we look at the three away games that we've had, you know, Arsenal, United, Chelsea, not a great run at all on paper. You know, a couple of those clubs going through tough times in terms of form, if you like, but still really tough places to go. We talked about that last week in the United pod. But Forest are performing really well. In all of those games, Forest, you know, in the Arsenal and the Man United game, could have taken points from, and probably feel they should have taken points. Steve Cooper talked about it on Saturday, didn't he? They almost felt an injustice in the way that they'd... you know, been handled, if you like, at Man United the week before. So they've used that and they've gone in there. But, you know, Forest, after those four games, have got a zero goal difference and have scored in all three away games, which is, I think it took, you know, it took Forest months on end last year to get to four.
I think it took until the defeat against Leeds in April to score their fourth away goal. So, I mean, compare that to this year, it's chalk cheese. I think that's another thing I've really enjoyed about it, and you were probably actually coming on to it there before I interrupted you. But, like, again, like, we don't know what's going to come after the international break, right? And we all know what the Premier League is like from last season. Likely will get topsy-turvy at points because that's the Premier League. It's not going to be straightforward otherwise. Hello, Champions League. So there'll be you know, down points. But I think what I'm enjoying seeing at the moment is this, even though it's only been a couple of days, but this downtime has just allowed people to like go back and contrast to where we were like 2 years ago. Like, I've really enjoyed that because I think actually you can take it all a little bit for granted, including myself. Because it's been a bit of a constant, and you like, especially last season with the World Cup break as well, it felt like when you were in the season, you were in it constantly, like it was just going, going, going. Whereas I think this year it's going to be a little bit more spread out. So there'll be these moments for a bit of a breather and go, right, let's just take stock for a moment.
The transformation, you know, someone texted our group, didn't they, today, you know, this time 2 years ago, Forest were bottom of the Championship after six games with 1 point. I know we talk about that a lot, but you talk about where Forest have come in those 2 years, and even in, you know, in the space of a few months now, where Forest how they're starting to play and handle themselves away from home. It stems from that Liverpool defeat, really. That was the first away game where you looked at that Forest side and you thought they actually believed in themselves and they gave it a go. And we know we talk about that game a lot, but that was almost the yardstick. And from that moment onwards, Forest have been good away from home. And it's continued to build after that first half, probably at Arsenal on the opening day. Forest have looked really, really good, and they've looked threatening as well. They're able to handle themselves, but they look threatening. It was very much that was the case on Saturday, wasn't it, Chelsea?
Yeah, I almost feel like it's a bit of a continuation. We've spoke about it before, but at the end of last season, I think that's another thing that people are enjoying seeing. Yeah, we're seeing improvements as well, like, and we're wanting to see those improvements. And I can remember actually before the Chelsea game the other day, obviously we were all sat in the pub and we were saying, look, you know, this is, I know people hate it when people say this, but a bit of a free hit, because then after the international break, you've got all these new signings to bed in. So actually, right, maybe our season starts after the international break and all that kind of jazz. But like, I do feel like the away performances have continued a little bit from that Liverpool game from last season. I think that's almost a positive, because you've not come out into the new season and, you know, in comparison to last year, we've got a bit of a spine of a squad and a bit of a core group that have been able to maybe take the positives from last season so far into the start of this new season. And we've spoke about it before, but like, the one thing I just wanted to see from Forest in these first few difficult home away games is that they can compete, and that confidence. And I think they've shown it in every single one. And that's what I'm probably proudest about, that they've not ever rolled over at any point. And it would have been easy to at times. You know, everyone will talk about the disappointment of being 2-0 up at Old Trafford, but I still think, you know, there'll be obviously a lot of other things that people speak about that. But in every single game, they have truly well and shown up in moments and then took you know, advantage of those moments that they've had. So that's a real good improvement to see.
I think we talked about it on Saturday, didn't we, after the game, that I think what the first four games have shown, and certainly these three away games have shown, is that Forest actually now look like a team that started to belong in the league. They no longer look like a team that are just happy to be there and you know, are a bit dazzled by the shining lights of the Premier League. They actually look like they're there to compete, to take points and to progress. And you've seen that in all three of the away games. And then the home game as well, let's take nothing away from that Sheffield United win. We've seen Sheffield United in their opening three or four games look how dogged they are and how they make some of the best teams in the league work. And they made Forest work that night. And that's a different challenge. That's the best thing about the Premier League. There's different challenges throughout the league, aren't there? You need those different attributes and formations and styles, and you have to be able to blend those week in, week out to pick up points and pick up results. That's why it's such a challenging league. But Forest have done that, and I think that was one of the most pleasing things about Saturday, that it would have been easy to feel a bit down after that Man United result and the way that kind of came about in that second half. It would have been easy for those players and that squad to feel down and to carry that into Chelsea. But if anything, as I said, they've used it as motivation. They've gone there and they've put in one hell of a performance, haven't they? And it was, that's the most pleasing thing for me now. I don't look at Forest and go, we're just happy to be here. It's Forest are there to challenge, to compete. And when you look at the strength in depth now, which again, we'll talk about in a minute, that's only going to get better, isn't it?
Yeah. And I also wonder, you know, some people say now they won't have thought about it, like they would have been well prepared, obviously, before deadline day. But, you know, obviously, we spoke about before, those players that played on Saturday will know that there's other players coming. And that's the good thing about having that depth. It's not a criticism of any of the current players that we've got. What it should mean is that everyone's pushing on to be as good as they can be, because they're going to have to now to get a place in the squad. So none of those players that played on Saturday will have done themselves any harm. And that's exactly what they would have wanted to do when you've got the likes of Sangare and Dominguez and whoever it might be breathing down your neck. So, yeah, no, there's loads of positives there to be taken.
It's a squad game, though, isn't it? You need, you know, you can use 15 players, 16 players on a match day now, you know, in terms of bringing your five subs on. So
you've got about 20 minutes injury time as well.
Like. Yeah, oh, we'll talk about that in a minute. But you need it. You're going to pick up injuries. You know, Forrest have picked up a couple of injuries on Saturday, and if Forrest were then having to play again this week, you know, players are coming to the fold that weren't in the match day 20. So we saw that last year in terms of the injuries that Forest picked up. So I think it did spur them on Saturday. I mean, in terms of the game itself on Saturday, if we go back to the beforehand, you were talking there about how we were almost joking, weren't we, in the pub beforehand about it being a free hit and life starting maybe after the international break. I think part of that was tongue-in-cheek based on the squad that we thought Forest might have out for this game, bearing in mind the midfield looked like it was going to be decimated with Danilo supposedly out injured, Mangala supposedly out injured, and Santos not being able to play against his parent club. Obviously, when we got that team news in, the whole dynamic kind of changed, right? Because, you know, Danilo and Mangala were selected, and all of a sudden that midfield area looked strong and able to compete. And I mean, that was the bit that probably Steve Cooper up to his old genius there in terms of, I think he played everyone like a kipper. He really did, didn't he? Because I suppose that was going to be the worry going into the game with a midfield two, if you like, against Chelsea of Yates and Coyate. There's nothing on Coyate, but it's just, it would have meant a slightly different setup, probably a little bit more attacking than Forest would have wanted to initially start off in that opening 30, 40 minutes. I know they brought Alanga on for Danilo in the end when he went off injured. But I think that midfield, the whole team looked like it has done in the first few games of the season, and just allowed us to keep that continuity going, didn't it, that you just referenced?
Yeah, and I think obviously they were able to keep the centre-back free pretty much the same as what they've had so far, regardless of what people said before this one. So, yeah, I mean, it was a surprise. As you say, I think Cooper used his usual tricks to get the opposition a little bit confused on this one. But it did suddenly, I feel like, when the team news was read out, it was like, all right, actually, do you know what? I changed my score prediction of 5-0 Chelsea and I'll go 3-0 Chelsea.
No,
joking.
No, I know what you mean. Yeah, it did though, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. It did. It changed kind of the mindset of it. And that's, you know, that's exactly what we want. Because we did feel it was a little bit decimated before any of these new signings were able to come in as well. And obviously, you know, Tavares was on the bench. And so the squad all of a sudden that you thought was available for this one game was just, you know, far more improved altogether. It's just even bringing players on as well. You know, the players that you had available on the bench was just far better than what we initially thought.
Yeah, and that continuity helped, isn't it? Because I thought the way performance just picked up from where they'd left Old Trafford in reality, in terms of that model which we've talked about, in terms of the way Forest approach away games in these last couple of months, last month of last season, the first few games of this season, it was pretty much the same as you were. I thought Forest were really resolute. I think they restricted Chelsea, and that, certainly in that first half, they restricted Chelsea to a lot of long-range efforts. I know Aina had to make a block on Sterling 6 yards out, but other than that, you can't really think of too many chances that Chelsea had from close range. It's kind of Gallagher, long-range effort past the post. But Forest were really good in terms of the setup and crowding players, getting back into position. The blocks that Warrell, Bolly, McKenna put in, and Yates with his balance as well. People were putting their bodies on the line, but when they did get caught out of position slightly, there was three or four, five red shirts smothering Chelsea all in one go. And I thought they were absolutely brilliant at that. And for all the possession that Chelsea had throughout the game, but you didn't ever really feel in danger, did you? I certainly didn't. You know Chelsea are going to have a lot of the ball. But, and I think it was, what, 75-25 in terms of possession. But it didn't really concern me that much. And arguably, in the first half, the two best chances fell to Forrest and Taiwo with a snatch shot. And the one that was headed back by McKenna, and obviously on the turn, they were the best chances of the first half for me. And that summarises Forest as well, in terms of they know they're going to have to just not live on scraps, that's the wrong phrase, but they're not going to be able to get like 5, 6, 7 chances a half, are they? They're going to take those half chances when they come, but Forest were effective again in that first half. And to say they didn't have much of the ball and they came out with the two best chances, but Forest were just really, really solid, and it carried on throughout the game. Second half wasn't really much of a change either.
No, they stayed compact throughout. I think, again, you know, referring back to the other away games, they have moments. You know, they know when they've got a moment. They know, you know, whether that is worked on, and they know when to hit, or, you know, whether they're just really good and a lot better at taking their chances than they did last year. They when they find those little moments or gaps of play where they can do something themselves, that they certainly make it difficult. I mean, that all leads from the back, really, because when you've got, you know, particularly I think in this one, everyone's obviously going to single out Joe Worrell, who had a spectacular performance, and I'm sure we'll come on to it in terms of the circumstances as well. But, you know, Willy Bolly as well. And I thought Ole, you know, had a good game. You've got to think about who he was coming up against on that side in terms of Raheem Sterling. He caused absolute nightmares against us last year. And again, you would have said, out of anyone who seemed a threat in that team this time, it was him as well. And I think Ole, you know, was probably a little bit too self-critical on himself post the match. He seemed to say that it was a bad day at the office for him. But I think, you know, given the opposition and who he was particularly up against in that game, I thought he had a solid game. So, and then once you get to that point, then you've got the players then to start trying to hit. And you know, that's again how the goal comes about, and that's how the goals came about in the previous games as well. You know, against Arsenal, against Man United, they were all coming from really hard work at the back, really solid defending. And once the loose ball comes into play, there's someone there to pick up, whether that be Taiwo or Alanga, whoever it is. You know, then it's hitting them on the break, and that's what they're doing really well at the moment.
Yeah, I think the standouts there for me, you've absolutely nailed the back three were brilliant. And a back three that, you know, takes some criticism over the last couple of weeks as well in certain areas. Certainly McKenna, I thought McKenna was brilliant on Saturday alongside Warren and Bolly. You mentioned Aina. I think he's had a really, really positive start of the season for me. You know, bearing in mind he's a right footer playing on the left-hand side, but I think he's made that left wing-back spot his for the foreseeable. You know, it's going to be really tough for Tavares to come in and take that off him straight away. I think he's been brilliant, really positive. Where he's probably coming from there is the fact he probably didn't get forward as much as he would have liked, but I think there's going to be have to be a realisation that you ain't going to be able to bomb on away at Chelsea. You know, our next away game doesn't get any easier, right? Next away game's we have to go to the Etihad to play City, and there's going to be a realisation there, but maybe that's just part of his frustration, because I thought
We'll see how that evolves, won't we, over a period of time, because you'd hope that the players that Forest have brought in actually do allow that. And obviously Steve Cooper's, obviously we're going to come onto it, so I'll try not to go into it too much, but Steve Cooper's hinted at different ways of playing. So I think that will become something that they maybe have a little bit more confidence to implement over a period of time. I don't think it's going to happen overnight. They'll still maintain that solid way of defending and that block right at the back. But you know, I think that will be something that they try and do. And I think, you know, the players they brought in probably show that as well.
But I thought Ryan Yates, just to come onto midfield there, I think Ryan Yates was really strong as well, and really, epitomised what Forest were about in terms of that closing down, that tracking. I mean, it was a perfect game for Ryan Yates, right, in terms of his attributes and getting about the park. And look, Forest's goal came from that just after half-time. Brilliant time to score. Did start to wonder maybe afterwards if Forrest gone early again here in the second half after what we said last week away at United. But it comes from Forrest just swarming Chelsea in the middle of the park. Caicedo is having a shocking time since he signed for Chelsea, but Forrest gave him absolutely no room for manoeuvre at all, and they broke free. And Forrest was showing their characteristics, you know, the goals that Forrest scored at United and Arsenal. You know, we praise them for them really showcasing what Forrest are all about, but this goal really epitomised what a team performs, what Forrest are about as a team, in terms of that smothering possession in the middle of the park. Fast breakaway from Taiwo again, and to put Alanga in. I mean, the through ball is perfect. I mean, I've watched that through ball time and time again. The fact he's megged Thiago Silva there is absolutely priceless. And Alanga's speed and pace, but when he gets there, when he gets onto the ball, the awareness to slot that into the bottom, it's a lovely finish, isn't it? It's not an easy finish, that, because he's running at absolute breakneck speed, and then to run onto the ball and cushion that into the bottom corner. It was a phenomenal goal, that really was. But I think that in a nutshell just sums up Forest, a new Forest are away from home at the moment.
Yeah, we've seen that kind of maneuver from them so many times at the start of this season already. Those two in particular, Taiwo and Alanga.
Yeah. We'll probably sign him in January.
combining so well, you know, and completely right. I mean, this came so soon. You know, into that half, and you know, Alanga comes on, speed, and the finish is brilliant. You know, opens up his body right into the bottom corner, and you couldn't have asked for a better start. And yeah, I mean, you do start. I mean, I'll be honest with you, I was saying throughout the whole second half, 2-1, it's going to end up 2-1.
I couldn't see what was going off. I was just happy that it had gone in, but
it's going to end up 2-1, Chelsea. I'm going to collapse because of the heat. You know, so you did start to worry, but I mean, the defending was brilliant all game. I mean, there was probably a couple of opportunities they could have had. Nicholas Jackson probably messed one up. But
he poked one over the bar, didn't he, from about 6 yards out, which he really should have buried. But other than that...
Exactly. But I think Forest were well worth the clean sheet in the end, because I think they just defended for their lives. Like, it was a real good team performance all around in the end.
Could have had another one as well. You know, we talk about Jackson, but the one where Alanga's kind of taken it down, gone to shape as if he's taking it to the corner to kind of slow the clock down, and then he's turned two Chelsea players and.
Well, I was actually annoyed with him at the time. You should have just kept it. Like, just don't bother.
It would have been a great goal had it gone in. Dancing.
Yeah. I mean, I would have regret, you know, hindsight and all that, but. Just dance around people. Just dance around everyone.
You weren't happy at the time. I mean, I wasn't happy when we saw the 8 minutes of time added on. That really did worry me a touch. But they did really well, didn't they, in that 8 minutes? Again, there was a few nervy moments just because Chelsea had a lot of the ball. I think Raheem Sterling had a chance across the face, a goal. But it wasn't comfortable. But I felt at the game that it was our time to get those 3 points, to keep a clean sheet. They deserved it. It felt inevitable, if you like, throughout that stoppage time that Forest would hold on to it. And it was a great show. I mean, the reaction at the full-time whistle from players and fans alike, it was great, wasn't it? And then to have all the players come over and it was a great show of appreciation both ways, fans to players, but players to fans as well. And Steve Cooper talks about it in his post-match press conference in terms of the fans have been amazing sticking by the team last season. When I mean, you did a lot more away games than I did last season, but when Forest were getting, you know, played off the park and hammered 4 or 5, the fans didn't let up, did they, in terms of their voice and really amazing away following that Forest have. But it was superb on Saturday, and it was just a nice moment where all the players lined up, and it was a proper show of appreciation. And yeah, the owner talks about it in his statement today, didn't he, in terms of it feels like a proper family. There's a special bond there, right, in terms of everyone at the football club at the minute. It feels like a really special place to be honest.
Yeah, I felt like it felt like a big win, just because they've been waiting for this away win for such a long time, and for it to happen at the venue it did against the team it did, it felt even more important so early on in this season as well, at a really good time when momentum's kind of on your side in a way, if you know what I mean, in terms of the feeling around the club and the transfer window and what just happened in that. It felt just significant for that. I liked the end bit in terms of the players coming over for more reasons than one, but I really liked it. You know, there was new players at Stamford Bridge watching that game on, and they would have seen that, and they would have seen what it's about. And I think that's important to me. You know, whether they were in the stands or watching it from afar as well, I like to see those scenes. That's important, because they now have to be bedded in and have those same qualities and that same feeling, you know, between players and fans. And obviously in particular, I really liked the Joe Worrell bit as well, in terms of Steve Cooper pushing him in and having his moment, and, you know, having that one of our own chant going towards him. And I also felt like Steve Cooper, it felt like he even could see how, you know, he'd really enjoyed the last 48 hours. You know, he was obviously going on in his interviews about wanting more players, and I'm sure he would have had, you know, all the work going on the night before that I'm hoping he'd be happy with, and he seems happy with in his press conference after the game, that you've just had that 3 points. And I think, you know, he's probably going, that's a nice little way to just maybe go into a few days off before we start training again for the next game after the international break. So it just felt like everyone in that moment was, you know, in a bit of a, you know, a really good place to be, if you like. So, yeah, no, just brilliant, brilliant season.
It was brilliant. I wanted to end in terms of the scenes at the end, talk about Joe Worrell. So we talked about Joe Worrell a couple of times. I mean, he was, I think, Forest man of the match, just for his performance, just naturally, if you'd have watched that performance. He was absolute colossus as a captain, put his body on the line. Some brilliant interceptions that didn't really get picked up too much, but he was brilliant at intercepting the ball and getting Forest moving. Just one of his better performances for a long time. If you then put that into the context of obviously what happened to Joe Worrell and his family last week, I'm not going to go into that. It's not our place to talk about that. But just in the context of, you know, a man there who's gone through a horrible week in terms of grieving for the loss of his uncle in what is can only be described as tragic circumstances. For him to then go out and put that level of performance on away at, you know, one of the, you know, toughest places in the league to go to, I mean, that's a mark of the man, and obviously the captain, and obviously what Forrest means to him. And it was a lovely moment with the fans, and as you say, Steve Cooper giving him that, you know, giving him that shove to go back and lap up the appreciation from the supporters, because I mean that takes some, well, I'm going to say bravery. You can call it whatever you want, but it does take some bravery. That takes some courage. And obviously great scenes in the dressing room as well. Joe Worrell got a standing ovation, but much deserved. It was his, for me, one of his best performances in a Forest shirt, which is a mark of the man, really.
Yeah, I think it was. And I was saying beforehand, I was like, you know, people saying, I think it was you, to be fair, you were saying maybe he wants to play, you know, maybe he wants to perform and you know, go out there. And I was saying, I'm not sure I would have played him, but absolutely, you know, fair play to him. I can't really top what you said, but yeah, you know, absolutely spectacular performance, as one of his best, as you say. And not just because of the context around it either. No. Like, take the context away from it and all of that. I don't want to, because I think it's an important narrative around it and just says more about him as a person as well. But, you know, if you did take that away, it's still just a spectacular defensive performance from him. And at a time just after he's had that sending off, and there were some really disgusting headlines earlier in the week. So fair play to him to go out there and just do what he did, because, I don't think there's many players that could have.
Look, I mean, let's just finish it from a footballing point of view before we go on to transfers. 6 points from the opening four games. You know, the talks about the three away games that Forest had in Sheffield United, there was a lot of pressure to beat Sheffield United at home. But if you'd have said going into the opening day of the season, you'd finish before the international break on 6 points, scoring every single away game that you played in and have a goal difference flat, I think you'd probably snap my hands off, wouldn't you?
I'm disappointed it's not 12. Absolutely. Absolutely. I think, you know, getting that three points at home was obviously vital to us talking about it and the narrative, but then to get the 3 points. And I think it's away from the points, really. I think you can get dial down too much into the points, albeit, you know, that is ultimately what you're aiming to get, and that's what gets you up and down the table. But the performances, I think it's the improvement year on year, tops with the transfer window stuff we're about to talk about. I think it's, you know, I think it'll be hard to find a fan that maybe isn't at least, you know, slightly positive about the start to the season. So, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, you were rocking before the game even started on Saturday in terms of your positivity. So I'm looking forward to this next section, because this could be a right old turn up for the books for the podcast, this one. So let's talk about a transfer. Let's talk about a transfer window. I wanted to start this section because we talked about the owner's statement today, which was a really great statement. I've gone back and read it two or three times, and I would, you know, find it hard to not have, you know, many Forest fans that didn't find that extremely positive, and I'd probably want to run through a brick wall for the owner there and some of the things he was saying. But there was a couple of bits in there that really kind of summed up the transfer window for me. So I'm just going to take one of his segments. So the breathless excitement of the transfer deadline day saw Forest dominate the role in sports coverage. The plan was clear and well calculated. It was a culmination of months of analysis and research, collaborative meetings, and a relentless pursuit of some of the best talent in world football. I think the point there, which I wanted to make, is that the plan was well clear and well calculated. Because I think if you'd have read some of the stuff that was being said about Forest, and some of it is brilliant, I've got to say, some of the Paddy Power stuff on transfer deadline day was creasing me up, and I got involved in that a little bit. But if you take, you know, outside of Nottingham, if you look at what people are saying about Forest transfer business, you'd think it was an absolute mess, wouldn't you, in terms of Forest are at it again, they can't stop spending, whatever Chelsea do, we can do better. But actually, on the face of it, when you look at it, it really was a clever, calculated plan, wasn't it? If, you know, the excitement of deadline day, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But just as summer as a whole, it all depended pretty much on Brennan Johnson's transfer going through. But then when Forest had those building blocks, they had enough players already through the door, and then to go for their number one signing, their number one target so late in the window, there was a clear plan.
Yeah, I think the players that they got in the end, I don't think there was too many that I would go, they signed that player off the cuff or something like that. You know, we've spoken about it already. I think there's a couple in my mind that maybe, you know, that's not a criticism. You know, they might have seen opportunities. But generally, you know, it was based on Forest selling Brennan. And not saying that they wanted rid of Brennan, but obviously, in order to be able to get the certain personnel that they did, it required to get the funds from his sale. I mean, I'm not convinced that maybe the plan was always for it to all to happen on deadline day. And I'm not sure that's necessarily obviously what they're saying, albeit it does kind of sound like it in a way. But I do think they do like doing business on deadline day. I think they do that. They've done it a lot with us since they came, and they do it a lot with Olympiacos, and their window's still open, so maybe they're up for a bit of fun as well. But
there's a few players here that they can have.
Yeah. And I'm sure they'll get them as well. But you know, I do think it was, they did have certain targets in mind that they'd targeted for a long time. Like, there isn't many of those players that hadn't been linked before. And that says to me, you know, whether they were linked in all the way back in January or the summer or whatever, you know, those players were wanted. There's only a few of them that I would say that I would look at and go, maybe that was, you know, a last minute kind of, all right, we'll take them. But I think it was calculated in the targets that they set up ready for. I mean, Sangare, we know, was a target for a year by the sounds of it. I mean, I probably didn't know we targeted him for that long, but, you know, he's certainly been a target for a long time. So they had a plan and they got the players they wanted. And I'd have to say that the players that they got, for me, excite me because they all feel like it's a bit of a step up, like you're trying to become more of an established Premier League club.
It is amazing. I was getting messages on Saturday morning going, oh, Steve Cooper must be pulling his hair out here. He's managed to navigate the squad changes last year and you've just heaped another 13 players on him this summer. I was like, no, that is nothing further from the truth. Steve Cooper has said so many times in the last two or three weeks that he needs more players, he needs better quality players. We're not stocked. We've not got certain, you know, there are a few players, obviously, that will be outside of the 25-man squad. They might go to other places in the next week. But we're not stocked with 40 players. Do you know what I mean? I think there's this myth that Forest are stockpiling players. We're really not. The amount of players that went out, far greater, or probably almost double digits. In fact,
and usually, yeah, a double club digits. That stands still is a club that regresses. Usually, yes. You know, like you even see it at the top, even with the best teams. You know, you often find that a club, you know, people go, oh, they don't really need to do anything. Their team's really good. You know, you look at Man City; they're always looking to improve their squad by, you know, I know it's a different. We're talking very different circumstances. You know, they might be going for a two or three really top players every summer, for example. But they're always looking to improve their squad because if they don't, they'll just fall by the wayside or people will work them. I mean, I'm sure they'll still do pretty well with the squad that they've got. But do you know what I mean? They're always looking to improve. Once you start standing still, that's when people start working you out or you start regressing or start, you know, just resting on your laurels a little bit. Yes. I've seen that with clubs before that actually have been up there. I found that, in my opinion anyway, with Liverpool, you know, a few years back, they maybe didn't improve as much as they could have. Or I found it actually with Leicester when they won the Premier League. I was like, well, here's a golden opportunity if I was Leicester. I know it's a Forest podcast, I don't want to talk about them. But yeah, I didn't feel like they took that opportunity enough. And I think Forest at the moment, all they're trying to do is, right, we've stayed up, so we've got another opportunity to improve ourselves even more.
I like your Man City example because it's what Pep talks about at the end of last season in terms of, you know, how do you follow that season up? The City had last year, you know, they've won the lot. But he talked about needing to freshen it up to get a fresh emphasis, to get fresh ideas. Otherwise, you get stale. You might lose some of that edge because you've gone and completed the whole set. Now, I'm not comparing Forest to Man City, obviously, but Forest had the end of last season was in a brilliant end to that season. You know, Forest have completed that task of staying in the league. And that's all the task was last year, right? Was to stay in the Premier League. And I say all, that was a big challenge for that squad of players, to stay in the Premier League. But if you don't kick on and bring in better players and move, then what's the goal this year? It'll be the same again. And then there's that lack of drive and focus somewhat. And I think you can lose it in this book. I don't think you're going to ever get that with this owner, are you? This owner is not a man who wants to stand still.
No, I don't think you can. You can't. You cannot complain about, you know, the amount of cash he's put into the squad. And I mean, the amount of cash he's put in this window and the players that he's got is absolutely fantastic. I think maybe there's been a bit of a realisation. You know, I don't know him. I don't know. I've never been to Frankie's and Benny's with him. But like, I imagine if you had a conversation with him, you know, at the start of last season, once he'd spent 100-odd million pounds, whatever it was, that I reckon he probably thought Forest should do a little bit better than just staying up. But I think there might have been a realisation at some point. I actually think it probably came quite late on in the season, actually, later than we would have liked, that actually, yeah, actually, all we've done here is got a squad to stay up in some sense, and especially with the circumstances as well. I think he's now probably realised, right, so in order to make that next step, this is what we need to do. And I think, you know, I do think a lot of the signings seem as well kind of like Cooper kept on saying about having joint-up thinking. I think there has been joint-up thinking towards the end, because I certainly look at some of those players at least and I go, I reckon Cooper would have fancied him, would have liked him, like seems perfect for the system. There'll be some which might not have been his kind of first choice, but again, that's where the joint-up thinking approach comes, because not all of them should be his first choice. It should be the club's wider thinking, and for various reasons that I won't go into now, but like, there should be that joint up thinking, and I can see that with the players that they've got.
Deadline day itself nearly broke me, I'm not going to lie. My output throughout the day was pretty minimal. Probably shouldn't say that on a podcast, but it was tough going, right? In terms of there seems to be rumours, stories. Forest were the main topic of conversation throughout deadline day across national media, which was fantastic. I mean, it's a great place to be as a Forest fan in terms of Forest getting that much publicity, but it was unreal. I mean, not getting to bed until 1 a.m. with Chelsea the next day was it was tough going. I'm still trying to recoup that sleep, but I mean, what an exciting day. I mean, look, forgetting just transfer deadline day, we've talked about the whole window. I asked you this question on Saturday and you gave me a positive answer. So in terms of how you would score this window out of 10, we put this to a few people on Twitter as well, and we've got varied scores. What are you giving me? You changed your opinion since Saturday?
No, I haven't. I mean, I think there's a couple of people saying that they feel uneasy when I'm positive, and imagine how I feel. I feel like I've been the ghost of Roy Keane's been exercised out of me. I mean, he's not dead, but I'm still giving it an 8.5.
Yeah,
and I don't give out tens, so 10 not even an option.
You're not gonna
nine
get a 10,
feels
are you?
A little bit too. Was a little bit too much, but I give it an 8.5.
It's a good score. I gave it an 8. And,
yeah, exactly. There we are. More positive than you.
And the more I sit on it, and then I can kind of see where you're coming from. But I just try to balance the pot out in reality. But there's no doubt about it, is there? That well, if one of us goes two way, we have to go the other way just to balance it. But there's no doubt about it that when you look at the squad that Forest now have on paper, there is strength and depth in every position that we talked about. Before we go through the squad, we've got to start off and talk about Brennan Johnson, because, as we said, I think a lot of what happened in the last week of the window was predicated on Brennan Johnson's exit from the club. I think the owner's statement today alluded to the fact that, you know, Forest needed to sell Brennan Johnson to be able to strengthen in the way that they ultimately wanted to. You know, we saw how the last 24 hours of the window panned out. But Brennan Johnson himself as a player, before we talk about the transfer fee, I think it'd be crude to go and talk about the fee before the player and the man again. I mean, what an unbelievable 2 years Brennan Johnson has had at Forest. You know, coming through the academy, a young boy, Forest lad, you know, broke onto the scene in our promotion season, and the goals he scored last season ultimately helped keep us up. Again, you know, when I think about Forest's promotion season, Brennan Johnson will be pretty much top of people's minds when you talk about the importance of the goal. The couple that stand out for me is that Blackpool away performance, where he was absolutely unplayable that afternoon. And he scored so many important goals, the playoff semi-final. You know, absolutely unbelievable player. One of the best players that we've had the privilege of watching in recent years down at the City Ground. And for me, there's no doubt that he will go on and have a very good career and he'll do really well at Tottenham. But I think without him, we probably wouldn't be sat here now, would we, talking, you know, about the players and the squad that Forest have got, because he has played a huge part over the last couple of years in getting us to this position.
And he's improved my archery position.
Well, the inspiration for my tattoo,
well.
Fella.
Yeah,
so,
exactly. fantastic player. I mean, one of the best players I've seen in terms of coming up. I mean, when he had that loan at Lincoln, and I can remember some people going, oh, yeah, sell him. But he was exactly the kind of player that you would have wanted another club to sign. You know what I mean? If he was a lone player from another championship club, you would have gone, yeah, he seems, because you were always going for those players that were like add momentum, that were on form, you know, that could do it in League One to the level he did, you'd want them in the Championship. And he obviously came back to Forest, and the certain manager initially didn't really rate him, but Steve Cooper was then the perfect manager for him, and he went on and had fantastic moments that will forever live on in the memory, because they were such important moments for so many of us in terms of getting to where we are today. And then the fee that obviously we're going to talk about the fee specifically, but in terms of the move being able to generate what Forest maybe just needed to do at this point. No one would have wanted to sell Brennan Johnson. I've said that a billion times now, but I think it was just one of those moves that needed to happen, and I think it was good for everyone. I mean, I'm glad he's gone to Spurs. Just in terms of the coach, really, because I'm a fan of Postecoglou. I think the work that he did at Celtic, and he was actually kind of, I think, linked with us at one point, and there's, you know, I think he met him in Greece, like at the start of last season or whatever. I don't think it's got anything to do with this move, but, you know, I'm sure relationships were built there. And I just think he's a good manager to go and play for, and will have confidence in a similar way to how Cooper would have brought him through. You know, you certainly wouldn't want him to have played under a Conte or a Mourinho, because they would have just completely disregarded him before he'd even started. I think a manager like that will do him really good, and I think he'll have a bit more time, and so will Postecoglou with Brennan to kind of get him developing. I think, you know, it's now completely up to him whether he can do it at that level, and you know, we'll see what happens there. But I think this is the best chance for him to kind of make that step, and I think it's right for everyone at this time. Yeah. I think it was either always going to happen this summer or next. And I think for, you know, being selfish, you know, for Forest, I think it has to happen this summer, because I think otherwise you leave yourself in a bit of a perilous position. I'm sure there'll be moments this season where you go, God, I wish we'd not sell Brennan. We really needed him in that game. And there will always be moments like that when you sell a really good player. There'll be moments for Spurs getting rid of Harry Kane, and when players retire from the game, but that's just the way football works, and it's the system we're in, and unfortunately those players do have to go as a result of it, and go up to the higher powers, if you like, because that's the way that the system's been set up. But I think it was the right move for everyone.
I'm excited to see how he develops. I wish him all the best. So we're going to be following him closely. Hopefully he has two shockers against us, though. But I think you're right. I think it's a great move all round. Brennan gets his chance to go to a top club in Spurs. We obviously get a really good fee for him in terms of $47.5 million. It's pretty much what Forest wanted. And it enabled Forest to go and strengthen. I said to you when we spoke about this on Saturday, I also think it in a way, it frees up the systems, that the style that Forest could play now. I think there was always a bit of a problem with Steve Cooper in terms of, you know, away from home, perhaps wanting to go 3-5-2, and then having that dilemma of having to drop Johnson because Gibbs White is his man and was always going to pick Gibbs White, and it always just then caused a bit of a problem and a bit of a conundrum for him. We talked about he started having it at United last week, and we were surprised that he went with Johnson alongside Gibbs White and a 1 year. And I just think at times he got stuck in that, and I think it might now, you know that Steve Cooper is going to build this side around Morgan Gibbs White, and he can do that now. He can focus on that, and he can be flexible around that. I'm not saying that Steve Cooper is Morgan Gibbs White through and through, but you know what I'm trying to get at in terms of, you know, it caused him less of a problem in that. And then the players that he can now put in and around those forward areas, he might have a little bit more freedom and flexibility to swap those players about. So I think from that perspective as well, it might cause Steve Cooper less of a headache. But I think Forrest handled the situation well. I think, yeah, we talked about why did Forest do so much business on the last day, and I think it was ultimately because they needed reassurance. It was reported as so, right? Forest needed reassurance that they were going to get the money for Brennan.
I have to say, and it was giving me jitters right at the end when we'd not heard if that one had gone through, and we were waiting for free ourselves. I was like, textbook leaving. Well,
we didn't announce it until bang on 11 on deadline.
They didn't,
we went early, and they weren't happy. But I think Forest handled that really well, and therefore it meant that there was this big spree, if you like, on deadline day. But that was just the nature of the window. I think when it was slow at the start, and we were talking about this at the start of the season, Forest only signed 3, 4, obviously crept up to 5 in the last couple of weeks. You can see why. You can see why Forest needed to be patient and bide the time. But once it was all systems go, the fact that Forest were able to turn around the deal for Sangare so quickly, I mean, that is, I think that really, that's what made me smile on deadline day the most, when I was seeing the reaction of other fans, other teams' fans to Forest signing Sangare, and the nerve and the audacity of little old Nottingham Forest going and signing PSV's Champions League midfielder. Yeah. Well, you were, you were doubting it.
I'm positive, Tom. Now don't piss on my chips. But you know, one of the Spurs fans I work with, he was talking to me about Johnson, and I was like, "Well, smart clubs do their business before they sell a player." And yeah, do you know what? Maybe I was being a little bit harsh, but you know, I think a lot of the work had been done well in advance, but was being kept, you know, under wraps because they needed that security, as you said. So, you know, Sangare, it's not as if it just came out the middle of nowhere, like they were speaking about him to PSV, like a long time ago.
He'd been wined and dined in Greece, apparently, as well. Yeah. So, I mean, he'd been under the wraps. You're right. I think it was there for about a month or so. It was just the fact. And John Percy, Daniel Taylor alluded to that, right? That deal has been worked on. That was oven ready, good to go. And it's just about pressing the button. But there was some high drama in that in the last 24 hours. Is it? Isn't it going to happen? Are they going to run out of time? That's ultimately why I didn't get to bed till 1 o'clock, because I was not going to bed without us having signed Sangare. I mean, look, I'm excited. I think we're all excited about this one. We've seen the clips of him. We've seen the reviews. We've seen what he can do at kind of a top level in the Champions League with PSV. Forest have needed that number six in terms of someone who can get the foot on the break-up play, but also get the foot on the ball, get Forest progressing forward. He looks to be everything that Forest and Steve Cooper have said that they need. He looks a really, really exciting talent. I'm surprised Forest have got him, but the ambition for Forest to go and get him, A, think they can get him, but then B, actually go and deliver it, because it's all right, you know, talking the talk, you've got to walk it, right? Forest have ultimately delivered. And I think this, I said this a few times on Friday night and I said it on Saturday, I think this is a real game changer for Forest. I think the whole of football has got, the European football has gone, hang on a minute. Like, we knew they like spending cash and we knew they like buying a player, but they really are now going after some of the, you know, the top talent in Europe. And kudos to the club, because I think it really is a huge capture.
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, no, I do. I think it's one that excites me. And as we've said multiple times, I don't get excited. But this is one that does excite me. I think last season, like, our big signing was Morgan Gibbs-White. Nothing against that. He's obviously been an amazing, brilliant player. Loving him down to the ground. But he's not one that, you know, outside of these borders, anyone's going to raise much of an eyebrow to at that moment in time when we signed him, apart from the fee. You know, the player might have not been that well known. I know people say, like, he's England under 21s and all that, but I still don't think it's on that same level. And then you've got, you know, Lingard on a free, which maybe was supposed to be the eyebrow raiser, and maybe did upset a couple of people. But I think this was just a completely different level, this one. I think, again, I mean, I've not been to Frankie's and Benny's with him, but I do know Sangare.
Are you on commission? Is this a sponsored read from Frankie and Benny's?
I don't know why I've gone Frankie's and Benny's, because I wait for Pizza Express and American Art Romana Bench.
You like your meatball?
All right. I think this will be a really good sign. I think also in terms of the system that that Steve Cooper wants to play, you know, look, he's not going to be able to do it all by himself, which is why I think some of the other signings that have been made are key as well. But in terms of being able to have maybe someone who he can rely on within that area of the pitch, I think he certainly opens that up. And I think that's going to be so important. You spoke before about getting your wing-backs forward. Well, in order to do that, not only do you need to be very much trusted in your back three, but you need to be very much trusted in having at least one of your central midfielders to rely on, to kind of be mobile all over that area, and be just an absolute nuisance. And I think Forest do have some players like that, but I think they've just needed to get maybe that little bit of a game-changing midfielder, and I think he can do that. Look, There's no guarantees he's going to be a success because no signing is a success. But I think in terms, I can't complain with on paper, you know, what he could bring to the team. And I think that one really is a really top signing for Forest. I will admit, I said to people at work, I was like, I don't understand, in the nicest way possible, I didn't really understand why he just qualified for the Champions League and wanted to come. And I mean, obviously, I'm a Forest fan through and through. I've been a supporter for ages, but I just couldn't understand. I suppose for me, you know, when Forest were in the Championship and I was playing Football Manager or FIFA, that's the kind of dream signing you'd make if you gave yourself a bit of extra cash. You know what I mean?
People might go, that's a little bit far, yeah.
But like it is. So it just really surprised me. But fair play to him. I like his style. So,
I'm not going to go through every single other signing because it's about 30 degrees in this room that we're recording this in, and we'd be here all night if we went through all 13. But outside of Sangare, which are the other signings that excite you?
Dominguez, because again, it's another area of the, you know, same area of the pitch, I suppose. But in terms of what he can offer, something a little bit different. I like his pedigree as well. I think he'll be a really solid signing, and I'm excited about. Is this the way to Amarillo?
No, which we've got obviously Tom singing on the pod.
Yeah, that's how happy I am. Give it an 8.9. But I think there's something about it. Look, again, I mean, I don't know him that well, and I've not been to Frankie's and Benny's with him, but But I think he could be a top player. He's apparently well known to a lot of people who know that that area of the world in terms of top players coming from that area. And he's, you know, I think Nick's had even said it as well. He knows a few people and said that he thinks he'll be our best signing out of the lot, which I think is a big shout. But I'm excited to see what he can bring. That one we might have to have a little bit of patience with, but I think it could be a really shrewd one in the end.
Yeah, agree with that. I think the two that stand out for me, obviously I waxed lyrical about Dominguez last week. The other two that stand out for me is, I think Hudson-Odoi for £3 million it's a gamble, but it's worth taking for £3 million.
Yeah.
For Steve Cooper, if one man can get Hudson-Odoi firing, it's going to be Steve Cooper, as long as obviously that injury doesn't flare up again. But I'm excited about that one. I think he will certainly contribute in a Forest shirt. And actually, Amabama Delhi, they are. I've been practicing that since Saturday. I've actually watched a few clips. Now, this one came out of absolute nowhere, didn't it, on Friday evening, with about 2.5 hours of the window left. Forrest obviously had been trying to persuade Trevor Chalobah, who I really enjoyed also giving stick to on Saturday after he turned that move down. And then moved on to Amabama Delhi from Norwich, £12 million potential. Another 7 or 5 in add-ons. Watching some clips of him and reading some of the reviews and some of the comments on him, he looks like a really exciting proposition as well in terms of centre-back. Him and Murillo both look like quite exciting, strong lads, good bit of pace, good ball players. So they look like they're, you know, ones that can come in now and contribute, but also, you know, for the next 3, 4, 5 years, that is your kind of centre-half pairing. They're ready-made.
Yeah, and also, I mean, we said we're not going to go through each one, but we've almost completed the pack.
We have, haven't we?
I think the one that's gone under the radar that deserves maybe a little bit more credit is Vlachodimos. I wouldn't be shocked if he was Forest number one, and that's nothing against Matt Turner at any point. Like, he's come in, he's done well. I actually think he came in with people being like, oh, don't want him. And I think he's really proven a few people wrong, and I'm really glad about that. But I think this fella as well, I don't think he's coming just to accept being on the bench. I'll tell you that for free. I think again, this one's been spoken about as far as taking an opportunity right at the end of the window, and he's fallen out with a coach at Benfica. But before that, you know, he was a big part of that Benfica squad. And I know we've had a couple of duds from him before, but he's no mug, this one. And I think I would not be shocked at some point. I'm not saying straight away, but it would not shock me whether we've got a bit of competition for that number one shirt, because I think, you know, people will say, oh, well, you know, he's coming because he's, you know, Greek international goalkeeper. It's got sod all to do with it. I think Forest have got themselves a good one here. So,
certainly won't be going to Olympiacos on loan because he's got that written into his contracts, apparently. Yes. So there we go. I mean, look, it's been an unbelievable summer, unbelievable last week and a half. I mean, if you'd have said 18 months ago, if you looked at this squad 18 months ago, I don't think you would quite believe that the quality of this squad in terms of, you know, the names, the money that's been spent on it, but the attributes, the qualities that this squad has, it feels quite nicely balanced now in all areas of the pitch. You've got options, different horses for courses, if you will. Is this, I'm going to put a question here. Mm-hmm. Is this the most exciting time to be a Forest fan in your lifetime?
Yeah.
It feels...
My bar is incredibly low.
But I think for a lot of people, right? So even for me, when we talked about this before, you know, not to harp on again, but you know, obviously having seen Forest in the Premier League and you know that mid-90s team getting to the UEFA Cup, what happened to that team and how it was, you know, disbanded, if you like. But how this quick rise and how this team has been put about and the qualities within this team, it feels, I mean, it is a ridiculously exciting time to be a Forest fan for everything now. The whole picture's starting to come together. I mean, does it change what your hopes and aspirations are for the season this year? I still think, for me, it's about consolidating yourself as a Premier League team. I don't think 17th is the aspiration this year, but finding yourself in that next trench of, you know, that anywhere between 12 to 15 down, if what we talked about at the start, but that still feels realistic to me. I wonder whether the owner's aspirations are slightly higher than that, but for me it feels sensible. Second year syndrome is, you know, still a concern for teams that come up. I think Forest have got to, you know, slowly have got to make sure they're moving in the right direction, but the ambition's there, and I think, you know, Forest will be wanting to be closer to that mid-table pack than they will the bottom third of the table.
Yeah, I think the signings for me have probably set my sights a little bit higher. I think those players need to come in and they need to settle, which is good that they've got the core. You know what I mean? I think it's different to last year, as I've said already. They've got the core. They didn't have that last year. So, and that core is already performing, albeit some of them are already getting injured. So, I think, Tom,
just on that point, that was really important, right? Because to go back to what I was saying 5 or 10 minutes ago, where people were ridiculing Forest, if you like, on Friday for poor Steve Cooper's now got to, you know, bed in another how many players? Doesn't have to, does he? Because the Chelsea result proves that. He doesn't have to throw them in. He could buy his time. You've just talked about it there in terms of Lokonomos. You talked about Dominguez needing, you know, we might have to be patient with him getting into the team. We don't have to throw these boys in. That's the beauty of it.
No. And I think poor Steve Cooper, you know, the job that he's done, he's the one that has got Forest to this level and is ultimately giving Forest the opportunity and the owners to do what they'd probably always planned on doing. You know, this is exactly, I think, what they were thinking when they came in. But I don't think they expected the rise from when Steve Cooper arrived to where we are now. And he has to take a lot of credit for that. But ultimately, yeah, in terms of the backing and stuff, that has probably risen expectations up slightly. And, you know, that's something Steve Cooper himself's going to have to deal with as well. But this is what he would have wanted. You know, this is exactly what he would have wanted. He would have wanted better players increase expectation. That's just life. So you know, I've probably gone from, I think I predicted at the start of the season, like 17th 16th. I'm probably, you know, I've not taken a massive jump. I'm probably looking at 14th 13th. But that for me, I'd be happy with that. But in terms of, you know, does the owners have slightly different aspirations? Yeah, I think they did it at the start of last season. I think they will this at the start of this one, you know. So, but we'll see what happens. They stuck with Steve Cooper last year. The reasons for that, I think, are varied. And I'm not saying Steve Cooper will do a bad job or anything like that and get sacked. I'm just saying, you know, I think for me, I'd be happy with that gradual improvement, but we'll see. We'll see what the aspirations are elsewhere.
No, definitely. And look, Steve Cooper's delighted with the players that he's got, and he knows that there's a job there now to evolve the squad, the style. He talked at length. I thought his interview post-Chelsea was really good. If anyone hasn't listened to that, I'm sure everyone has, but go back and listen to that. Because he talked about that's his duty in terms of now improving the style, getting the better players in, having that flexibility to play in different ways, depending on the opposition and the situation that you find yourself in. But I think Forest have got that opportunity now, and I think I'm really excited for the season ahead. It's Forest have given themselves a great chance. All you can do when you get to the end of a summer window is have given yourself the best chance of being as successful as you possibly can be. And I think what Forest have done this summer in terms of the ins and the outs, I don't think it could have gone, and maybe I'm talking myself up here from an eight, but I don't think it could have gone that much better. And I think the start to the season has given them a platform. They're not sat here now having bought the players that they've bought, but not having a single point on the board. So you're starting behind. You're in it. Do you know what I mean? You've got 6 points on the board from four games, really tough four games. You're giving yourself a nice platform here and a bit of positivity to build on. And the next run of games, I think October and November, a chance for really Forest to kind of build. And we'll talk about that in the next episode, won't we, in terms of that next run of that next block of fixtures. But Forest to give himself a nice platform.
Yeah, and the one thing I will say, do you know what? I've just sat there and gone, oh, the owner's going to want European football, whatever, like higher up the table than maybe what we're going for. There's probably a middle ground there between what we're aiming for and what I'm maybe saying they're aiming for. But to be fair, you know, Marinakis in his statement earlier did say these players, you're going to need to stick by them, these new players, they're going to need to bed into the Premier League. Those players that have never played in the Premier League, they're going to need time. So maybe there is a realisation in terms of, a bit like what happened last year, that these new players, albeit might be a level up in certain respects, or, you know, at least improve the squad to be a level up, that they also will need a bit of time. And away from the transfer window, can I just say appreciation for Steve Cooper in his post-match interview for admitting he was sweating his balls off like I was. Campaign for Tom Denman to have his towel, because I think we all need a towel in moments like that. We all need a towel.
I'm feeling like that right now in this office. So do you know what? I'm going to put a pin in this episode because I am far too... Where is the bloody winter? I need the winter. But Tom, really great episode. I enjoyed that. I've enjoyed the last... the last few days has been immense. I enjoyed Chelsea with you on Saturday, the end of the transfer window. But let's end it there. We'll be back next week with our Burnley preview, and we'll look ahead to the next window of games as we talked about. If you want to obviously get in touch with us, you can email us at timeaddedonpod@outlook.com. Give us a follow on X at timeaddedonpod. Give us a follow on Spotify, Apple. Please leave us a review. Really help other people to find the pod. But Tom, enjoy the international break. And we will be back next week with our Burnley preview. Come on, you ready?